Okay, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're at verse what? 13. Verse 13, that's where we're going to start tonight. But I want you to remember what we talked about before. But before we start that, I want to say this. It's good to be gathered over God's Word once again, isn't it? We're gathering over God's Word. Amen?
Amen?
Now, did you ever think of gathering over God's Word as gathering over the Lord's body? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in a symbolic way, we could say, this is Jesus. We're gathering over Jesus. But remember, though, it's not the dead body of Christ, is it? No. Praise the Lord, it's the living body of Christ, the living Word of God. And that's why we want to be into it, because it's He's living and He guides our life. Right? The Holy Spirit leads us to Him, and then we can be guided by the Word. That's why we never need to fear what may come in the future. The Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. We know where we're going. We don't have to have any fear about it. So we can be just as bold as we can be. And the Lord will bless that. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is alive.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit is in us. The Father is in us. And God Almighty is on His throne now and forever. So why should we fear? Why should we have anxiety? There's no need for it, is there? God is for us. Who can be against us? Well, they can be against us, but they won't win. Praise God. So let's pray and prepare to fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God Almighty. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that You gave Your Word, which actually represents the body of Christ, that we can access the wisdom of God. We can access the boldness of God in that we can speak Your name, speak Your Word. And who can stand against us? The enemy can try, but Lord, You are greater than the enemy. You are the victory. You are our victory. Lord, help us to be bold by Your Holy Spirit, to be bold and speak Your name, and to show the fruit of the Spirit and love one another and love those out there that are unlovable at the moment. But help us, Lord, to love them into You, because we know that will bring glory to You, and we know that's why we're here, to bring glory to You. So, Lord, help us as we meet the challenges of this light affliction, as the Apostle Paul called it. Help us, Lord. We need You. Help us by Your Holy Spirit to turn always to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so last week, obedience through submission was the theme of the night. Obedience through submission. Keep in mind, obedience to authority does not mean to be beat down into blind obedience through fear. That is never God's way. That is never God's way. Peter says in verse 7 that we looked at last week that those acting this way cannot expect to have their prayers answered. Yes, that's what he says. Now, he's speaking there specifically to men, but it applies to both ways, both sexes, right? Male and female. We can't represent Jesus and expect His blessings if we're acting that way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So Peter is speaking directly to the husbands, but it's true for both husbands and wives. Gaining the obedience of another. Gaining the obedience of another involves a relationship based on faith in Christ and practicing the fruit of the Spirit. See, that's where we all need to be. If we want to gain someone's obedience, gain their faith in Christ and in what we're doing, then we need to show the fruits of the Spirit. You can find that in the book of Galatians, right? Fruits of the Spirit. Also critical, this was last week I talked about this, also critical is the premarital relationship of a couple, which reveals the attitude and nature of each person's commitment to Christ. When you spend time together with someone, you get to know them more fully, more intimately, and you get to know what are they really like with Jesus. Scripture plainly teaches not to be yoked to one who is not fully committed to Christ. Right? Amen. This reinforces the need for a prolonged engagement. Don't see many of those nowadays, do we? But listen, that's how you get to know someone before you tie the knot. Because once you tie the knot, that knot is not supposed to be untied. Now, God gave us that option because He knows how we are. But that's not what He wants us to do. He wants us to stay together and be a glory to Him. Amen? And an encouragement to others. The time to learn of a person's commitment to Christ is obviously before marriage. Because then you've got to deal with it, right? Now, this is for a couple who are both believers. See, you get to know each other and you get to feel that commitment. But if one of the couple is unsaved, there should be no relationship. Scripture says, don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer. Problem is, we don't teach that enough today to our church, to our young people. And see, we're going to get to that in our youth group. We're going to talk about those kind of things because they need to know it before they get into trouble with it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So, marriage is a difficult road to travel. Would you agree? I mean, you've got to work at it. It doesn't just happen. Okay? And there's highs and lows. But you don't throw in the towel because of that. You keep working at it. Between a believer and a non-believer, it's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. Because you're not serving the same God. You're not getting your wisdom from the same place. God wants to bless a couple who have become one through marriage. That's what He wants to do. He wants to bless that marriage. Remember, He commanded that we be fruitful and multiply. That is Him implying you need to get together and stay together. However, He expects that union to be between two of His children. That's the best scenario, isn't it? Because they are equally yoked. They can agree on things more quickly than otherwise. Amen?
Amen?
The problem is that these principles that have not been reinforced in the modern church, they just haven't been taught. They're not being reinforced. Yeah. But, you know, hey, we've got to be honest and straightforward. We've got to tell what the Lord wants. What is He looking for? Well, He's looking for this. However, the need to strongly reinforce these principles of God in marriage are very urgently needed. The divorce rate is high, even in the church. It's high. And that's because we're not teaching these principles to our young people. And we need to. Amen? All right, so now we're going to continue with chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. All right, so here we go. Verse 13, I'm going to read down through verse 17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, that means respect, not being scared, that's not what it's talking about. With meekness and respect, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You can suffer for doing evil. You can suffer for doing good. Which is the better one to suffer for? Pretty obvious, isn't it? Verse 13. Even though the current culture in our country has degraded against this principle, the principle of doing good. That's what I'm talking about. Most of the time, people who are promoting good things for others are not harmed. Now, that's changing a bit nowadays, isn't it? But we should not be moved, right? Just like that tree planted by the water. We should not be moved from doing good. In verse 14, however, one is blessed, honored, actually privileged in suffering for righteousness. You actually are called to that. You are called to be righteous. You are called to be set apart. You are called to follow the Lord. You may suffer in that. Did the Lord suffer? Well, you know He did. But He didn't stop, did He? He was obedient. And that's what we need to be, obedient, not stopping. Okay? Actually privileged in suffering for righteousness. That is how good is defined. That's how this scripture here defines good. Suffering for righteousness. Suffering for following the Word. Suffering for following Christ. Suffering for following the Holy Spirit. That's what good is. Following obediently. That's what we need to be doing. Can't you hear Jesus saying, "Fear not, fear not," as we suffer for His gospel? He knew. In this world you shall have tribulation. That's John 16:33. But that's not the end of the verse. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's Jesus talking there. Praise God. In other words, set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. Don't wait to do that. Make a conscious decision to follow Christ in obedience so that when the test comes, the challenge comes, you don't have to debate it. You just follow Him. Follow the Holy Spirit. Make it natural. Amen. Right? It should be natural now because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've been water baptized and surrendered our will to the Lord. We've prayed for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It should be natural now just to follow the Lord and do what He's guiding us to do. Just as natural as if we were doing something that we were born into. Actually, we were born into it, weren't we? So praise God. That's what we need to be doing. Set apart your heart to Christ as Lord. Make up your mind. Commit right now. Yes. The Holy Spirit's calling you right now to make that commitment. To let Christ live in you and through you. That's what you're committing to. I live, yet it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's where we're supposed to be. Let Him make home in your heart of worship to Him. Live in obedience to Him, sharing the good news. We have a message to share. We should never be at a loss for words. Jesus loves you and gave His life for you. That's how much He loves you. What do you think they're going to say? Why did He give His life for me? You know the answer, don't you? So you just lovingly share it with them. And that's how it goes. Then you're walking in the Spirit. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Live committed to Christ. Live committed to Christ. Let Him be in your heart. Share the good news. It's the best news they're ever going to hear. Share it. Share it factually. Share it biblically. With love. And fear not. God is with you. Then be ready to explain how they can live without fear because they have Christ in them, in their heart, in the Holy Spirit guiding them in a life of obedience to Him, just like we are obeying Him. Amen?
Amen.
A life of eternal glory with Christ after we leave this world. That's where we're going, folks. So you're going to suffer these temporary light afflictions and then you're going to go on to glory. Praise God. You have something to look forward to. You're not going out into the great unknown. You're going out into the great God who loves you and gave Himself for you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 16. Your conscience. Your mental response to the Holy Spirit. That's what your conscience is now. Because you are in Christ now. Christ is in you. So when something happens or you do something and you start thinking about it, that's your conscience comparing what you did with what Christ would have wanted you to do. What did the Holy Spirit really want me to do? Did I live up to the expectation or not? Oh, I didn't do it. Repent. Repent. Ask forgiveness. Ask Him to help. Or I did do it. I made it. I got the job done. Praise God, I'm growing in the Lord. See, that's what's happening when you get the job done. You're growing. You're maturing. You're trusting more. Amen?
Amen.
Courage, you had a comment. You're no different. You're no different. You haven't grown. You haven't matured. You're not following. You're not obeying. See, there's plenty to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for. And He will. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to be His messenger. Oh, angels are good, but you're better. You're like the people you're talking to. Except you're not like them. You're in Christ. And you can show them the way. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 16 is what we're talking about. Having a good conscience. That when they, whoever you're talking to that's not agreeing with your walk with the Lord, that when they defame you as evildoers, you're doing good. You're doing the right thing. You're following the Lord. But they're telling people, oh, watch out for that crazy guy over there. He's spouting off about Jesus. Stay away from them. They're nuts. But we know better. They're evil. They think we're evil because we're trying to tell them about Jesus. And they revile, they reject our good conduct in Christ. But if you live the life, if you're obedient and you follow the Holy Spirit, what's the result of that? They will be the ones who are shamed. See, that's usually the main reason why they give you a bad name, because they're not living up to it. And they're not able to live up to it because they don't have Christ in them. And so they want to bring you down because they can't go up. So stand your ground. Show the Lord. Be strong in the spirit of His might. Your conscience, your mental response to the Holy Spirit, will make you aware of sin by bringing guilt, shame, doubt, despair, and fear into your conscience. When you're feeling that, when you're hearing that, and your mind rolling around there, call on the Lord. You can even say, show me, Lord. Maybe you're not even aware. You don't know what you did. You don't understand it. Lord, show me. Show me what happened. Show me where I went wrong. I want to be right with you. I'll never forget one morning I got up. I was going to make pancakes for everybody. No milk. Can't make pancakes without any milk. So I jump in the car, run down here to the store at the corner down there. That was a store before, and then it closed, and now it's a store again, okay? All right, so I went down there, I got the milk, and I pulled out on the side road on Platinum. And when I got to the stop sign, I didn't come to a full stop. I did what he called a California stop. And so I kind of rolled through it, and I went around the corner. I don't even know where he came from. I didn't see him, but he saw me. Over we went, you know, lights and everything. And you know you have a choice on how you're going to react, don't you? You're either going to be upset and give the guy a hard time, or the lady nowadays, or you're going to accept it. So it was a Sunday morning even, right? So I sat there for a minute, and he was walking up to the car, and I gave him my information. And so I accepted, and I said, Lord, I don't know. I know why I'm stopped. I mean, I'm not dumb, okay? But I'm going to think that you stopped me here to keep me from running into something bad down the road. I'm going to choose that route. I'm going to give you glory for it. Well, Mr. Russell, you did a California stop. You rolled right through that stop sign. But I'm not going to write you up today. I'm just going to tell you, you need to be stopping at those stop signs. Adios. Praise God, right? If you respond in the Lord, expect something good to happen. Not from the people you're dealing with, but from Him. He's the one that's going to provide the good for you, and He did in that circumstance, and I give Him praise for it. So, surrendering to the Lord, walking without sin in the Spirit, produces a conscience that's free of offense to God. You can lay down in that bed at night and go right to sleep because your mind is not churning over the things you did that day that didn't match up with Him. And if your brain is churning on those things, you need to say, I better get up and get with the Lord, or I'm not going to sleep at all tonight. So do it. This life of faith and obedience will shame and convict those around you, those that are looking at you, those that are saying bad things about you. It puts conviction on them. They are your accusers in their own minds. They're accusing you. Oh, that goody-goody. He's a goody-goody. He doesn't run with us because he's too good, right? So what? You want to please the Lord. You don't really. The only reason you care about them is to be a good example, to draw them closer to the Lord. That's where your care is. And in verse 17 it says, for it is better if it is the will of God. See, it's God's will you're looking for here. It's better if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, how are you going to know? You have to test Him. You have to do the good and be obedient. And then look for the good to come. And if you don't, then you can look for the negative thing to come. You may have to repent. One may suffer for their faith and obedience, but only if the Lord wills that. Plenty of times you can give a witness, a testimony to somebody in a crowd, and it works out fine. No problem. People are blessed. And you go away feeling good. Must have been the Lord's will. And then sometimes you give that testimony and you have hecklers and people that don't care and they say all kinds of things and they disrupt it. And you suffer. Did the Lord suffer?
All the time.
Yes, He did. You're following His example. So stick with it. Don't give up. His will is that you proclaim Him. No matter what else happens, you proclaim Him and walk in the Spirit. He may also will you. He may will you to see the victory of someone yielding to the Holy Spirit and gaining salvation and then even going on to service. You know, a lot of times you can see someone gain their salvation if you're witnessing. They'll accept the Lord. But you don't see what happens after that. They go their way, you go your way. Because it doesn't always happen in church. And you don't know what happened. But sometimes the Lord lets you see. He blesses you and lets you see. If you serve Him long enough, you'll find that's true. I was doing a youth group down in Clearwater. I had two brothers in that youth group. Man, they were a couple of pistols. You'd go to do something, you wouldn't find them. Nobody knew where they were. Well, where were they? They were hiding in the baptistry. Right. They'd do all kinds of stuff like that. Take them up to Toccoa Falls Christian College up in Georgia. Now, Toccoa Falls has a waterfall there at the college, and a lake at the bottom. And so all the kids, they get into an assembly that day, and what's the first thing they tell them? Nobody can go up to the top of the falls. I thought, don't challenge my guys that way. Who are the first ones up there? Yeah. But now, one of them is pastoring in a church in Georgia. And I've lost track of the other one, but he was a music leader in a church. I don't know if he's still doing it or not. You see, if you serve the Lord, He'll let you see some things that will encourage you to keep on keeping on. Right? Oh yeah, you have some tough times. Don't worry about that. Just keep on keeping on. You'll see the good times. Amen? All right. Very good. Follow the Lord with obedience. Serve Him. Speak for Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go on now to verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, that's when they were disobedient, before the flood, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. Amen. Now, Christ also suffered once for sins, that he, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Holy Spirit. Of course, you know that Christ was and is sinless and righteous. Always was, always will be. Whether he's in spirit or flesh, still true. Christ was fully and completely in harmony, in line. That's what justified means. It means it lines up. He lined up with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was perfect just like they. He had no sins just like they. They were all like that. How? Because he remained sinless and righteous, perfectly obedient to God's plan. That's what he was doing here on earth. He was carrying out the plan that had been created before the creation of the world. That's exactly what he was doing. So perfectly obedient to God's plan throughout his time on earth. See, that's where it really mattered. That's where he had to be the example. That's where he had to suffer being in humanity. And he did. This allowed Jesus Christ to bring us to God by placing us into Christ's righteousness. Understand, our sin was placed on his body. Our sin was placed on his body, but not into or onto his spirit. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. What happened at that point? His spirit went to the Father. His body was dead. It went to the grave. But his spirit didn't go there. Now, I'm talking about some things that are hard to understand. And maybe you've never thought about this before or heard it. But we need to hear it. We need to understand. We need to understand how Christ performed that imputation of giving us his righteousness and taking our sin and remaining sinless. That our sin went on his body, which was taken to the grave, but not his spirit. His spirit went to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Because of Christ's perfect righteousness, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, raised him back to life. Romans 8:10-11 says this, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin," just like the body of Jesus. Dead because of sin. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness," sinlessness. Your spirit is sinless because you're in Christ and He is sinless. Amen? "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," He who raised Christ from the dead, that would be the Holy Spirit, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's going to give you life. This signifying the perfection of Christ's life and sacrifice for us, and guaranteeing resurrection for all who believe. We're going to be resurrected because Christ was resurrected. He's the prototype. He's our example. All who believe and trust and obey Christ for salvation will be resurrected. And they will be sinless too. Christ's sacrifice for humanity was powerful enough to take the whole wrath of God meant for humanity for all time. Even those who haven't been born yet, that reach the age of accountability, He took their sin. They haven't even lived it yet. But He paid the price for it. It's been paid for. So they can be free if they choose that. He took the wrath meant for Adam and Eve and every accountable human up to the beginning of eternity. Amen? Amen. Oh, I know your minds are thinking. It's hard for us to grasp this with our human mind. But it's the truth. Now, we're going to stop there tonight. Because I want to read from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, New Testament edition, written by Wolbert and Zook. It's a Bible commentary. And I think they have the right exegesis on this passage. Oh, there's many different ways to explain it, but I think they have the right way. I think they have it. And we're going to look at that next time. What time is it? Oh, yeah, it's time to stop. So we'll stop there. Good. You know, you get these ideas, you don't want to stop, but you got to stop. Now, I would like you, if you're sitting there thinking, what in the world is he talking about? How can that be? I want you to read over that again. And you can read on to the next part if you want to. And pray about it and meditate on it and think about it and see what the Holy Spirit says to you about it. We're going to talk more about it next week. Okay? We need to understand this. The power of God through Christ and the Holy Spirit are in us. We have the power. We need to access it and live it. Amen? Okay. Do you have any... I'm afraid to ask the question. Do you have any questions? Okay, so we'll pick it up again next week and talk more about it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we're going to struggle some with this. But Lord, many times without a struggle, you don't get anywhere. So Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit. And I know you will. That's why you gave him. Help us to understand this, that we might have more boldness on your part to speak for you and to further your kingdom. That's why we want to do this, Lord. We want to know, how do we use the power for your glory? How do we do it? We're looking to you for the answer, Lord. Be with us all, Lord, this coming week as we go about our business, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. Help us to be kind to one another and loving to one another. And even those that are not kind to us, help us, Lord, to show them kindness and love and patience. Because they're watching. They're watching. And they may even be trying to determine, they're trying to think if they want to follow. So help us, Lord, to help them make a positive decision for you. And we'll give you all the glory because you're the only one that deserves it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.